Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillette, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Big news coming out of the Sixers, according to ESPN, the team meeting last night. Tyrese Maxey calling out Joel Embiid for not being on time.
Good for the young guy,
good
man.
For him. Yeah, I mean, someone had to say it to Joel Embiid. So we'll continue to react to that. The Sixers are a disaster right now. And finally, someone calls out Embiid for not doing what he's got to do as the best player on the team. We'll get back to that. All your reaction to Joel stuff, the Juan Soto situation. John Heyman reporting a little bit earlier today, the Phillies are indeed going to get a meeting with Juan Soto, so that's on our radar as well. A lot going on. Let's talk to our next guest here, Eric Kratz, and right back to your phone calls. Eric Kratz, foul territory, long big league career, and now he talks about baseball on a daily basis. Let's talk to him about this Phillies offseason. Kratz, how you doing today, bud?
Eric! I am awesome. Thanks for having me on, boys, because I totally have to redeem myself because I absolutely blew it for my tens of fans who listened to what I had to say about the Mets. They didn't met, bro. Like, that was the last time I was on.
I know.
They blew it.
No, we met it. Yeah, they didn't met. We met it. Kratz, hopefully next time we see the Phils, they're in a better position than the last time we saw them. All right, Kratz, let's go here. Let's start with this. There's a lot of rumors out there with the Phillies, what they might do, what they should do. They might shake things up this offseason. What do you think about that? Just the idea that where they're at right now, it's been a good team for a few years, but they haven't gotten over the hump, now going kind of the wrong way when it comes to the postseason. Is it time to shake up the core here?
Shake up the core? No. Because the core, I think everybody would agree, the core is Trey Turner. The core is Kyle Schwarber. It is Bryce Harper. It is Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola. No, I don't think it's time to shake those guys up. So maybe some of the peripheries? Maybe?
I was just about to ask you. So how, like, we can't possibly go into another season with this thing being the same way it is. So, like, when you talk about peripheral moves, you know, Bohm's name's been thrown out there a little bit as far as trade bait or whatever. How would you fix this baseball team if it was you trying to fix it?
To me, you know, the Bohm stuff, if that narrative keeps getting sold that he's, you know, he's on the trading block, just know you're getting rid of 93, I think, or 97 RBIs. Those aren't easy to come by, and some people don't think RBIs are a big deal. But to me, you know, you have to upgrade in the area of swing decisions. Does that mean you get rid of Nick Castellanos because he doesn't make great swing decisions? Well, the team wasn't hitting well in the second half, but Nick Castellanos was. Bryce Harper didn't have a homer for 20 days. Nick Castellanos did for, you know, during those 20 days. Like, I don't think you go away from the guys. To me, this team came in after the World Series year, and they said, you know what? We want to win the division. Well, they didn't win the division. Then the next, they blew it against the Diamondbacks. They needed to upgrade their bullpen. They upgraded the bullpen by, you know, maybe not leaning on guys like Kimbrel. They came in, they said, we want to win the division. So they won the division. They made the change. Maybe the Braves played a little bit worse than they did the year before, but the year before they were kind of playing out of their shoes. So to me, you have to not necessarily say, okay, they want to win the World Series. They've wanted to win the World Series ever since 22 when they were in it against the Astros and got no hit. Like, that was every team that builds a team like this wants to win the World Series. So what is the adjustment as a team that they need to make? And I think Kevin Long's the guy to help them not cut down their strikeouts, because that's like saying, hey, there's a pink elephant in the room. And all you're going to think is, where's the pink elephant? Where, if you say, you know, don't strike out as much, it's a negative thought. You think, how do we increase our swing decisions? And I think if you do that as a team, even old dogs can learn new tricks.
Eric Kratz joining us here on the Hot Stove Summit. All right, so you think that old dogs can learn new tricks, and sometimes they can. But also, is there something to the idea of incorporating guys that are just good at this, right? There, you know, you look up and down, there's probably 25 players in baseball that are elite at not swinging at bad pitches. They're great at it. They don't chase. Do they need to bring one of those guys in? They've been connected to Alec Bregman here. Alex Bregman, he's been good at it in his career. Obviously, Juan Soto is amazing at it. But there's even other guys, you know, Brendan Donovan in St. Louis, like guys that are just grinders that don't swing and miss and don't swing at bad pitches. Do they need to go get one of those guys to incorporate into this mix?
Yes, and I say that with a question mark because you know, you bring in a Bregman who's never struck out more than 100 times in a season. Like, he's a walk-to-strikeout guy. He's almost a one-to-one for his career, which is elite. It's incredible. But the mentality, and the example I give is obviously the World Series-winning Dodgers, Max Muncy. Obviously, the Phillies would love to have a Max Muncy. Max Muncy, when he was out of the lineup, the Dodgers were an under 500 team. Yes, he didn't get a single hit in the World Series. Phillies fans would hate it if you got a guy like Max Muncy and he didn't get a hit in the World Series. But they would love it if they won the World Series. And what Max Muncy brings is a swing decision in different situations. Sometimes you don't swing at the first pitch that's a strike unless it's middle-middle, you know, and it's 99 right down the middle and you can do damage on it. That's the kind of guy they need to bring in, and I think those guys are available without getting an Alex Bregman, without trading the farm for a young player from another organization who has shown for 2 years that they don't swing out of the zone. You need guys that are willing to put together at bats. But the other issue with that is you're going to sit there and go, this guy hits 220. Like, because those guys do not hit for a high batting average. They don't swing out of the zone, and they don't allow your team to get into situations where it's a one-pitch out. It's usually one-pitch doubles or homers, and it's five pitches, and it's an out. Seven, eight pitches, and it's an out. And those are productive players. So to me, I'm looking at lesser value with like a Jonathan India type of player who had a 16.8 chase rate outside of the zone. It just means he's not swinging at pitches outside the zone. He'll still strike out. It's okay. But you go there and it doesn't really shake up your entire organization by saying, well, we just added another $23 million a year player in Alex Bregman for the next 8 years.
I like that idea. You need more grinders. I mean, like, I think of Muncy, I think of a grinder. All right, Kratz, let's talk about Garrett Crochet. He's been connected to the Phillies a lot. How good do you think he is? I mean, obviously the stats last year are off the walls. I mean, then they shut him down a little bit at the end and they limited those innings. But it's only been one great year. He's had injuries. Is he worth it? Like, if the Phillies decide they want to upgrade pitching and that's the way they want to make their team better, do you think Crochet is worth giving up some of their best prospects to get?
I'll go to Charlie Manuel quote. When he was asked, would you like to have Giancarlo Stanton on your team? And he said, yes. He goes, well, who would you trade for him? And Chuck goes, well, I would trade Roy Halladay. I would trade Cliff Lee. I'd even trade Cole Hamels if it got me there. Garrett Crochet is that good of a pitcher. Yes, there's injury concern. Yes, there's a issue with, you know, he hasn't thrown many innings earlier. You know, he's never started in his career. When you have a talent like that and you have a team positioned where they are, you can never have enough elite starting strikeout pitching because that guy would slot in right into the rotation. And I think you could even possibly trade you could trade Sanchez. You could trade a, without getting into your Nick Abel, to your Andrew Painters, you know, to your Aiden Millers, you could trade a big league ready pitcher that has low service time. And, you know, the package wouldn't be so devastating to your minor league system.
Well, I mean, the way you framed it, I'm in. He's got big-time stuff, and him and Wheeler and Nolan in a series would be really, really good. Kratz, we appreciate you hopping on. Let's do it again soon, especially as the Phillies start making moves, and we'll check out the show on YouTube. Thank you, Kratz.
I appreciate you guys.
There he goes. Eric Kratz, foul territory there. We appreciate him hopping on. All right, 215-592-9494. Hugh, I think people are chomping at the bit to react to all these things that we're talking about today, including the story that broke just about a half hour ago. Joel Embiid reportedly called out in a team meeting last night after the game by Tyrese Maxey. One more quick thing to throw in. It just goes with the whole show today. We do have a Juan Soto Phillies update for you. John Heyman put this out about half hour ago. The Phillies haven't met with Juan Soto yet, but they plan to. Not many teams want to win more than them. So now we're getting some concrete here. The Phillies are planning to meet with Juan Soto. All right, let's go to the phone lines here on all this. Rob in Delco, and don't forget, it is Combo Con today. We're looking for one-two punches. One that I think was been included in one last year is Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid. I'm not sure anymore if they are as good of a one-two punch they used to be, because maybe not on the best terms. Rob in Delco, what's up, buddy?
They got beef.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's like the basketball gods knew I was going to be the next call after this news broke, Hugh. That's what it knew. Because when I talked to Kyle, Hugh, he's like, no, we want to stick to the Soto thing. And then when this broke, he got back on. He's like, it must have been meant to be, Hugh, that I was going to follow up with the first call after this joke of an athlete that we have right now. Now, if I could spend a mill, and I got a great combo answer, but, Hugh, it's not original, and I'm kind of playing off the news, so... You kind of know where I'm going to go with my answer. But first thing, is Juan Soto better than Aaron Judge?
No, he's not absolutely better than Aaron Judge. No.
Then why would you give him $700 million?
Well, but he's 5 years younger than Judge was.
That's why I wouldn't do it.
He is 5 years younger than Judge was when Judge hit free. You're paying for all the years of good that you. I mean, Rob, he's probably got 8 more years of like prime before he even starts to decline. So we got a long runway there.
All right, because his numbers to me aren't even close to Judge's. Like to me, Judge is way better. Like he's not even. He's an average fielder too. People don't talk about Soto's fielding.
He is. I agree with you. Yeah, I think average is probably even generous. Yeah, he's not a very good fielder.
Yeah. He's not very good in the World Series. But anyway, listen, and I got a great answer for you at the end, so don't let me forget. Joe, what has my slogan been? I used to say I, but I'm going to say we now, Hugh, because I'm speaking for the city of Philadelphia, okay? I'm making a blanket statement. We want our team back, okay? And it starts at the top with the moron owner, and it starts at below that with the moron GM, okay? They just gave, and you know they announced, like, when they, if you're at the game, 7-2, I'm going to say 325 because he ain't in shape. So I'm going to make 325 center from Kansas, and they play the music in the background. They said that Mr. Softy music in the background, Hugh. Like that truck that comes down the street with the ice cream and the milkshake.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, play that for Joel Embiid. Because you know what? They're a joke. Like, to me, I'm ready to start over with Tyrese and Jarrett McCain and get rid of this guy right now. If somebody would take him, Joe, I would deal him right now. They just gave him 3 years and $190 million in change for a guy that doesn't show up on time, doesn't care about his body, doesn't take care of himself. We just gave him another 3 years at $190+.
It's a slap in the face to the organization. I mean, he's turning his back on his teammates, but he's also, if I was Josh Harris and I was Daryl Morey, I'd be furious today. Like that it got to the point where they have to call you, like a teammate has got to call you out in a team meeting. Rob, they should have traded this guy 2 years ago, and now it is a disaster because he's not healthy and he's obviously not working hard enough. It's one thing for me to assume that. But when it's coming out from Tyrese Maxey, I know it's true. Like, Max, he's not going to do that. Hugh, you live life in a locker room. There's no way a teammate, from my perspective, would call another teammate unless there's real reason to do it.
Especially if you feel like there's a legit chance and you know you're busting your butt and they're not busting their butt. Yeah, this is big. And you know what this reminds me of? This is almost like a bitter breakup. There's going to be more that comes out behind this.
Yep.
Because Joel Embiid is not going to go quietly into the night. That's the kind of the best part about it.
Him. I hope he doesn't. Screw you, Joel. I don't want him. I'm at the breaking point, Joe. That's it. I'm done.
Well,
I'm done,
you know, I bet you're not the only one. Rob, what do you got for us for Combo Con? What's your answer?
Real fast, they're not only slapping in the face, the owners are slapping us, and I'm not even excusing Joel. Joel, that's who he is, and they knew who he was. The owners and the GM are slapping the city of Philadelphia and us fans in the face. That's who they're slapping in the face. Because Joel is who he is, Hugh. You know what I mean? This has been going on for a while, so they're slapping us in the face. That's why I'm actually more mad at them than I am at Joel. Here's my answer. Tyrese Maxey and leadership. That's my perfect combination.
Oh, I like that. All right. Good. A little 1-2 punch there. Rob, appreciate it.
Something that stands out about the article, because we haven't gotten really too much of a chance to get deep into the details here. The paragraph that says, Embiid accepted the messages, but he stated that he's sometimes confused about what the Sixers are attempting to execute on the court. That, coupled with his almost dismissive attitude after the game. Like, say I was late for the show to start 10 a.m. all the time. And you guys are like, yo, Kyle, like, you know, you should start showing up on time. And I'm like, well, what are you guys doing in the show? It's like, yeah, no, hold on a second.
You'd know if you were here.
Yeah, like, you're deflecting from what we think the issue is.
That's why I say it's more to come. Because he probably accepted it, but at the same time, he felt attacked.
You know who I want to hear from today? We'll take everyone's phone call. I want to hear from the person who whines and cries every time I try to say the truth about Joel Embiid. I need to hear from the Joel Embiid fan today.
That ain't about to happen.
Well, no, I need to. Because if you're a Joel Embiid zealot and you will refuse to criticize this guy, it's time to wake up.
Right,
it's time to wake up. Like, again, it's a slap in the face to you, too. The people out there that love this guy because he's a great player. Again, I think NBA fans just have bad math skills. There's 15 great players. They're all over the place. The reason that the certain guys win is because they put in all the work, and certain guys don't because they don't. And that's obvious now.
I'm trying to wrap my head around, like, why something like this might have been leaked. If they thought the team meeting was productive, then it's almost something that doesn't need to be said. Is this a response to Embiid almost seeming dismissive, as though maybe the message didn't get through?
This is, to me, Kyle,
I think that's a fair thought.
To me, Kyle, this is survival mode. Because that's why when I heard the story, people have been speculating this for years. I was told that this has been going on for like 10 years. When he got here, he didn't rehab to get ready for the season and he missed the season. So this is something that's not new. The fact that it's coming out now, this feels like survival mode. Somebody's in survival mode right now, especially coming off the fact that you just gave this man a ton of money. And, you know, we've been hearing rumors and speculation that he's been working out and he's in shape. I to me, Embiid looks the same. To be honest, if he's in shape, out of shape, big, tall dude, you know, whatever. But the play on the court does not reflect somebody who's been working hard to get ready for the season.
Last night, to give you an example of your point, he doesn't look right on the court. It was the first game that Joel Embiid has played since 2018 without attempting a free throw shot.
Mm-hmm.
That tells me either the effort or the stamina or the physicality is not there, right? Because he gets free throws whenever he wants. All he has to do is go down low and bang, and he'll get to the free throw line because he's good at getting free throws, and no one can guard him anyway because he's so big and strong. It's like him not getting to the free throw line tells me his effort and his ability right now are not there. 215-592-9494. I'm just so glad that Tyrese Maxey did this. I'm just so glad. Like, it's time, because it obviously wasn't getting through when fans do it. Like, that wasn't working.
Y'all crazy.
Daryl Morey, go look at his track record with James Harden. He let Harden go to Vegas in between playoff series when he was with the... I mean, Harden ran the show in Houston, and all that team did was not come close to winning a championship. I mean, Morey's the biggest pushover in the NBA when it comes to stars, so Morey wasn't going to call him out. I don't know if Nurse feels like he can. Maybe this was his way of allowing it to happen. I don't know, but someone had to call him out. Let's go to Greg in Hamilton. Hey, Greg. Greg, you there, buddy? Greg.
The moment's too big for him.
Greg,
we got too many topics on the table.
You got to be on time, Greg. Don't be an Embiid. Black Gritty's up. What's up?
Black Gritty.
You know, I'm always on time. Hugh, what it do?
What's up, man?
There. Quinn Jeff behind the glass. So let me tell you something. There's some show that comes on after you, and they take a lot of shots at you. I don't listen that much anymore, but they be talking a lot of stuff and talking about trading Maxey and, oh, it was wrong on McCain. And they fight so hard for Joel Embiid. Well, you're going to die on that hill because it's over now. The fact
been
that
a lot of dying on hills lately.
Yeah, a lot of dead
lot
people
of
on
hills. They about to, it's a drought here. It's a drought. It's a fire, bro. We in trouble. This dude's got to get traded. You gave him a 5-year extension for what? Morey's supposed to call him out? No, my coach is supposed to call him out. I know that Glenn Rivers let him do whatever he wanted to do with Harden. But this Joel Embiid, dude, you came off your Olympics. You were supposed to go out there and hang with the LeBrons and the champions and the Currys and do something. You come back, you're out of shape, your knees busted up, you still get an extension. And Tyrese Maxey, you know how bad of a person that you got to be at your job for Smiley to come and check you? All the dude wants to do
Smiley
is be happy, bro. When you get
take
Smiley,
people girlfriends.
For real. I mean, Mr. C, your girl, it is what it is. But if he stole it, you never had it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's
you know
true.
What it is.
Yeah.
But get back to focus, you. Focus now. This man is so Nice. This kid is so good. I mean, he worried about Joel not doing his job. And Joel can deflect all he wants to. But guess what? You do so much for this city, you can't show up on time for $500 million? You can't show up on time when you do so much for the city. Now, trade him, get me Max, and get me McCain. The only thing that they seem to be able to do lately is get some hits on draft picks. So go out there, get Joel to get his 50-point game before the trade deadline and get this dude out of here. Because guess what? We ain't never winning with him. It don't matter. He's going to be hurt regardless. And we are a transparent organization again. Starting the process all over again. My goodness gracious. If you call Joel Fenderell, would be you're a crazy individual right now. Because this dude's out of here. Things will go together. I'm over here eating some fries, some ketchup. That's a classic.
Ketchup and fries as a 1-2 punch. That's really good.
I'll see y'all tomorrow. Y'all better be straight, too.
We'll see you there. We'll see you at Chickie's tomorrow. Thank you, Black Gritty.
Could have been anything but ketchup, honestly.
No, fries go with ketchup.
No, they don't.
But that's a
fries go with their child.
Fries go with that shake.
It's a 1-2 punch.
You never heard that saying back in my day?
I would much rather eat fries than a shake than with ketchup.
Do fries go with that shake?
No, that's a good one. Now, you cannot like fries and ketchup, but you have to admit it is a 1-2 punch.
It's a bad 1-2 punch.
But that's fine. You could say it's not your favorite 1-2 punch, but it's up there with any food 1-2 punch there is.
I can think of better.
You know, I don't even eat much ketchup anymore. Like, I very rarely have it.
Yeah, because we're adults now.
But on fries, it works.
I can think of five different things I'd rather dip it in.
I don't need ketchup on fries.
You don't need it, but it adds to it.
I would rather eat them with nothing than with ketchup.
Well, that depends on the fry. I mean, some fries are not very good.
And I think we're operating under the assumption that it's a good fry.
Okay, 215-592-9494.
I like my bet. I took another good one.
Yeah, you did. I'm operating the assumption that Joel Embiid is not a championship player. I've been operating under this assumption for like...
You feel vindicated?
Yes. Yes, of course I do.
You said it was so much...
Because it's so obvious, and everyone's like, oh, he's a great player. Could you ever...
This is a bad look.
Could you ever imagine... Go to the best players in the NBA that won all the titles over the last 30 years. Could you ever imagine someone saying this about Michael Jordan, LeBron James,
late.
Steph Curry, Kobe Bryant? Never! Never!
Well, technically, Allen Iverson showed up late a few times. He was great.
He wasn't a championship player.
Yeah.
I mean, let's call it for what it is. He didn't win anything.
Yeah, but he was a hell of a player, though.
215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. All right, your phone calls here coming up. The whole Joel Embiid situation. If you missed it, Tyrese Maxey called him out. Can we hear quickly, and then we'll hit all this again and continue in the 1 o'clock hour. Can we hear Joel Embiid, some of what he had to say when he was upset at Marcus Hayes a couple weeks ago? Because he threw this in there, and then we find out he's not even showing up on time.
I broke in my face twice. I came back early with the risk of losing my vision.
You sorry.
Have broken fingers. I still came back, so I'm not gonna see him be like, you know, when I see people saying he doesn't want to play. I've been way too much. I've done way too much, you know, for this city, and you know, putting myself at risk, you know, for people to be saying that. So I do think he's bull. Like that dude, he's not here. Marcus, whatever his name is. I've done way too much for this city to be treated like this. So, done way too much. But, like I said, I wish I was as lucky as other ones, but that doesn't mean that I'm not trying and, you know, I'm not, you know, doing whatever it takes to be out there, which I'm going to be here pretty soon.
The end caught me.
I'll be out here pretty soon.
Well, in the end when he said, it doesn't mean I'm not doing everything it takes and I'm not trying. Well, guess who doesn't think you're doing everything it takes?
Your teammates.
Yep. And they called you out in a meeting yesterday. So spare me. Like, spare me the pity party. Spare me, leave me alone, blah, blah, blah. Go out there and show your teammates. Because it's beyond just us now. I mean, your teammates, they're the ones with you every day. And they see it. 215-592-9494. Your reaction here to the Embiid story. Maxey called him out in a team meeting last night. Soto news. The Phillies are meeting with him. A lot to discuss. We'll hit it all in the 1 o'clock hour. 215-592-9494. And your answers for Combo-Con. We're looking for a 1-2 punch today for the ultimate midday show tailgate giveaway. Brought to you by Jack Daniels and Gerhard's Appliances on Sports Radio 94 WI.